Hey, this is Rich Wilkerson Jr., lead pastor of VU Church, and I want to say thank you so much for checking out our podcast. I really hope that today's message encourages you, inspires you, and empowers you to follow after Jesus like never before. Before we get to today's teaching, I want to encourage you to come and be a part of VU Conference 2019. It happens annually, and this year it's happening in the month of June at the Watsco Center in Miami, Florida. This is going to be our 10-year anniversary celebration, and we do not want you to miss it. Everybody you know is invited, but we've got incredible guests coming through. Carl Lentz, Mike Todd, Judah Smith, Chad Veach. We've got music by Mosaic MSC, Social Club, so many more, but it really won't be the same without you. This conference is all about encountering God, equipping the church, and empowering next-generation leaders. I think you probably fall into one of those categories. Why not come spend a weekend with us here in Miami at VU Conference? For more information, go to VUconference.com and get registered. I can't wait to see you this summer in Miami. Well, let's go check out today's message.
As Pastor Rich talked about, we've been in this collection of talks, seven rules for self-discovery. They're based on seven questions asked by the theologian A.W. Tozer. And today we're going to go through one of those questions. It's who and what we admire. And my sermon title for today is Find Your Focus. Find your focus. Come on, we're going to pray, and then we're going to high-five our neighbor and have a seat. God, we thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. God, thank you for this moment. God, thank you for this space. God, thank you for falling upon it, for transforming it, God. Lord, speak to us. Reveal yourself to us in a brand new way, God. I pray that we walk out of this room stronger and closer to you than we did walking in. We love you, Jesus, and we pray these things in your holy and precious name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Come on, put your hands together. All right. High five your neighbor. Tell them, find your focus. Find your focus. Find your focus. How you doing, 1215? Come on, I'm excited to be here. I love this collection that we've been in, Seven Rules to Self-Discovery. This idea for me of self-discovery, I think, is really impactful. It's really powerful. I think self-discovery is this battlefield that we all live on. It's really interesting to me that one of the most heavily researched topics in the world, one of the most heavily sought after topics, one of the most heavily purchased topics is this topic of self-help. I think everyone, their favorite thing to talk about is themselves. So it's self-discovery, it's this battlefield we all live on because it's almost as if in our core, we're hardwired to dig deep within the crevices of who we are, to unpack and unravel the essence of our being. Everyone, their favorite topic to talk about is themselves. So we're all on this journey. And in the attempt of doing that, in the attempt of unpacking and unraveling and pulling out who you are, certain things emerge to the surface. Certain things come up to the top. And sometimes they're pleasant, but sometimes they're pretty brutal realities about ourselves, right? I mean, when we are on this journey, when we're on this road to extract everything that's in us, to pull out who we are and what we're meant to do in this life, different things emerge. Things like our thought life, things like our wants, our likes, our dislikes, our preferences, our habits, and as we're gonna chat through today, our admirations. Our admirations come to the surface in this journey of self-discovery. I love this question. Who and what do you admire? Who and what do you admire? When that word comes to mind, admiration, what do you think about? You probably think about people in your life that you look up to, right? You probably think about things that you respect, things that you approve of. You're thinking about your role models, thinking about your different heroes. All of us right now, as a matter of fact, you're probably thinking about all the things that you've admired over the years, and you're like, yo, why was I so obsessed with that? Why did I like that so much? Why did I admire that so much? It's a funny journey. It's funny to think about over the course of the years, all the different things that we come to admire, but it's also a little bit revealing. But before we get there, I want to talk to you about some of the things that I've come to admire over the course of my life, okay? So in my life, I've been on a journey ever since my youth to figure out who it is that I am. And I was trying to go back as far as I could to figure out what was the first thing, really, like the first thing that I can remember admiring. And for me, honestly, I think it has to be the Power Rangers. Are you guys Power Ranger fans? Come on, the Red Ranger, the Green Ranger, the Yellow Ranger, the White Ranger. It's not about Power Rangers. It's about diversity, okay? It's morphin' time, okay? Maybe you weren't a Power Rangers fan and you're a Ninja Turtles fan, okay? Any Ninja Turtle fans in here? No, four of us? Okay. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, heroes in a half shell, turtle power. Anybody? Okay, come on, put your hands together for the Ninja Turtles. Guys, it's not about turtles, Leonardo, Raphael, Michelangelo, Donatello. It's about the Renaissance through the turtles. I loved it. Power Rangers, the Ninja Turtles. I loved them because my focus was on becoming a superhero. So I admired these superheroes. But then I matured, praise God. And I grew out of that and I stepped into a new focus. My new focus was sports. Okay, so no longer superheroes, but now focused on sports. Know what I'm talking about? And I know that you can probably assume this by looking at my physical stature, but I am an incredible athlete. A tremendous athlete, like world-class first team Miami-Dade athlete, okay? I was more like honorable mention, but still, great, great athlete. But probably the best athlete in the room, okay? I played basketball, soccer, baseball, ping pong. My dad didn't let me play football, but if he did, I'd probably be in the NFL right now, okay? I am just superstar athlete. I'm actually not that good at sports. But in my younger years, I was a powerhouse, okay? I was packing some power, but instead of just talking about it, I figured it might be better to show you guys. Can we put this photo up of me? Oh my gosh, look at that guy! Oh my goodness! 1996 Miami Lake All-Star, Adrian Molina. Put your hands together for him. Wow, look at those cheeks. I was packing some power in the midsection, in the hips, if you know what I'm talking about. I was the kid on the baseball team that I would hit a bomb. I'm talking about like a bomb into the other field, but only make it to second base because my cankles were slowing me down, okay? I was that kid. So as my focus got on sports, who did I start to admire? Different superstar athletes. Michael Jordan, PJ Brown, Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway, Derek Jeter, Gary Sheffield, Bobby Bonilla, Jeff Conine. Nobody? No, you guys aren't fans of these people? Stone Cold Steve Austin, Sting, Triple H. You know what I'm talking? These were my idols during this era of my life. But then I got out of the sports phase, stepped into high school, and my new focus was girls, okay? I stepped into Pace High School freshman year and I was like, whoa, something's different. We won't go into that right now, but because my focus became girls, because my focus became popularity, who did I admire? Freddie Prinze Jr., Ryan Phillippe, Zach Morris, A.C. Slater, Nick Lachey, A.J. from the Backstreet Boy, everybody. Yeah, rock your body. Okay, all right. These were my idols. I admired these guys. But then I grew out of that, graduated from high school, stepped into college, and what did I start to focus on? Career, success, money. So what did I start to admire? People who in my eyes had made it. People in my eyes who I thought were successful by my definitions. I wanted the cash money. That's what I admire. Cash money, clothes, all a brother knows, a foolish pleasure, whatever. That's the PG version. That's what I started to admire. And I could go on and on and on and on, but I think you see my point. Over the course of our lives, we come to admire different things. You're probably thinking about it right now, what you used to admire, and you're like, yo, why did I like that? Why did I admire that? And as we talked about earlier, it's revealing. It's funny to think about, but it's actually revealing. Well, what does it reveal? it reveals that what we admire in life tends to be the best indication of what we're focusing on. What we admire in life tends to be the best indication of what we're focusing on. Let me give you an example. So when in my younger years, I was focused on becoming a superhero. So who or what did I admire? The Ninja Turtles, the Power Rangers. And then in middle school, my focus was on becoming the star athlete. So who or what did I admire? I admired the star athletes. When I was in high school, my focus was on popularity and on girls. So who did I admire? The guys that were the popular guys in all the movies and in all the shows. What you focus on leads to what you admire. Your admiration will be attached to what you admire. So your focus, it determines who you look at. It determines what you look at. Your focus determines who and what you admire. And I think sometimes in life, it's easy to think about like what we admire. It's easy to identify what we admire, but sometimes it's not. It's difficult. It's a little bit more complicated. It's not as obvious, so we have to dig for it. Today, I want to chat through three different questions that I think all of us, myself included, need to be asking ourselves to identify who or what we admire. You need to identify who or what you admire because it's the way that you find your focus. Okay, so the first question that we're all gonna ask ourselves is, who do you look at? Who do you look at? Like, who are your eyes drawn to? Who gets your attention? Literally, who is the person? Who's the person? Who are the people? Who are the groups of people that draw your attention, that get your sight line? Psalm 101, verse 3, it says, I will not set my eyes on anything that is worthless. I will not set my eyes on anything that is worthless. Who do you have your eyes set on? Are they worth your sight? This question for me, man, it's awesome. Who do you look at? It reminds me of why I'm so grateful for community. It reminds me of my VU crew. My wife and I, we have the privilege, the honor to be a part of an amazing VU crew on Thursday nights. There's 140 different VU crews all across our church. I personally think our VU crew is the best, but I understand that that's up for debate. But we love our VU crew. We love the community and the people in there. And this past week was crew week. So on Thursday, just a couple days ago, we were in our crew and we're in a circle, we're in a conversation, and we're talking through generosity. Something that's unrelated to admiration, right? We're talking about generosity. We're talking about being generous with our treasure. Be generous with our time, with our talents. And as people were talking about that, I'm able to sit back and reflect and receive, but I'm also reminded of how blessed I am, how grateful I am. People who, if it weren't for the context of this crew, by the way, would be complete strangers, which is a whole nother sermon in itself. You want new perspective, put yourself in proximity of some different people in your life. People who don't look like you, who don't sound like you, who don't talk like you, who may not believe what you believe. You want some differences in your life, do some different things. So we're in this crew and we're talking and people are pouring into one another, encouraging one another. You know that the Bible, it says that our words have the power of life and death. That's pretty wild, right? The power of life and death. That means that the words that come out of my mouth have the potential to revive something, to rejuvenate something, to bring substance, to bring worth and value. Or the words that come out of my mouth can deteriorate, can destroy, can belittle, can diminish, can kill. It's powerful. The words that come out of your mouth, life or death. And it's beautiful in the context of this crew. I'm sitting back and complete strangers who, if it weren't for this crew, would probably not be in each other's lives, are speaking life into each other's situations. They're speaking life into each other's situations. And what happens to me? What happens to me is I get grateful and I recognize how blessed I am, but my eyes are drawn to them. As they speak life into one another, my eyes are drawn to them and I begin to focus on them. And as I focus on them, I recognize how much I admire them because I found my focus in that moment. So now I know what I admire. People like Leo and Yelsey, a married couple in our crew, they've been married 18 years. They just celebrated their 18th year wedding anniversary. Got two little girls and they've been committed to VU, committed to serving, committed to so many wonderful things. But I look at them as they speak life into one another and And I recognize that I admire them. I admire them first and foremost for their commitment to one another, but I also admire them for their commitment to raise their two little girls in a community that loves Jesus, that loves people. Leo, he said something that was powerful and profound, man. He said that my little girls right now are too young to understand why daddy gets up at 4 a.m. and goes to iTech and serves at church all day. He said they're too little to understand that, but he's still encouraged because he said, although they don't understand it, I know that I'm planting a seed. And when they come of age and they serve, they're gonna say, hey, my daddy used to do this. My daddy used to give towards some people. My daddy used to serve some people. I look at him, I say, that's the kind of man I want to be. That's the kind of dad I want to be. Kind of role model I want to be for my son. Not only Yelsey and Leo, I think about Vanessa. Vanessa's one of our closest friends and one of the strongest girls I know. I mean, this girl has been through some stuff. She's been through some changes. She's been through some challenges in this last year. Challenges which would, by the way, probably destroy a lot of us. Yet she came out cleaner on the other end. She came out stronger on the other end, closer to God on the other end. I look at her and I say, I admire her for her strength. See, she has a choice and she still decides to show up to church, show up to crew, lean in and pour into one another. Despite what's going on in her life, she says, I'm gonna give everything I got to these people so that even if they go through what I go through, they're gonna experience what I'm able to experience. I look at her and I say, I admire her for her strength. Not only Yelsey and Leo and Vanessa, I think about Pedro. Pedro's a new guy to church. He's been coming to VU. He's relatively new to VU, but he's brand new to crew. Thursday was his second crew. And homie is in crew, second crew ever, and opens up talking about his marriage. He's a newlywed. And he says, I want to build my new life with my new wife on a steady foundation. I say, that's the kind of guy I wanna be around. That's the kind of man I wanna do life with. That's the kind of man I wanna lock arms with. I look at him and I admire him. And that's what community is all about. That's what crew is all about. It's about putting yourself in the proximity of people that you can set your eyes on so that you could find your focus and attach your admiration to something worth attaching. That's what community is. That's why we do life together. So who do you look at? What person, literally person, do you look at? Second question that we gotta ask ourselves is, what do you study? Everybody say, what do you study? What do you study? Like what, like my degree, like biology? No. Now what do you study academically? Like what do you study, meaning what do you observe? What do you take in? What do you receive from? What do you feed your mind with and your soul with? One of my mentors, his name is Dean, and he's had a tremendous impact on my life. And he's always told me, garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. So if I put garbage into my life, garbage is gonna come out of my life. Hello, I've been there before. Garbage in, garbage out. Pastor Rich talked about it last week. We receive and then we release. We receive and then we release. We get filled up so that we can spill out. So what goes into me is very important, because if what goes into me is toxic, it can rot me from the inside out. So what are you feeding yourself with? What are you intaking? What are you receiving? Is it rotting you or is it rooting you? Is it rotting you, deteriorating you, or rooting you in something positive, in something firm, in something constant, something powerful? This is one of the reasons why we do church, by the way. There's the church plug. It's one of the reasons why we do church. This is a corporate gathering. We gather corporately. Church is not about a place. It's not about this building. It's about the group of people that are in here. We're gathering corporately so that we can worship God, so that we can show appreciation for God, so that we can show gratitude for God. But hear me, you also come to church so that you can receive. You come to church so that you could get filled up, so that you could go back into the world and spill out. And what I love so much about church is that you aren't just receiving in this moment right now. You start receiving the moment you pull into the parking lot. The moment that you drive onto the parking lot and a parking team member in that orange vest waves you down, says what's up, and shows you to your spot, that's the moment you start receiving. And then you get out of your car. You start making your way to the auditorium. and a welcome team member is waving and smiling and holding a sign that says, welcome home. And then you get into the auditorium and a host team member is wearing a shirt that says, you can sit with us. And they accommodate you as smoothly as possible to your seat. And then the worship team is up here and they're leading you in corporate worship, leading you in a way that you can worship God and adore God. And then the broadcast team that's back there that you can't even see them, but they're making sure that they got lyrics up on the screen so that you can follow along, so that you can sit along. The stage hands that are off to the right, to the left, making sure that everything on the stage is clean. The audio engineers that are making sure that you can hear everything that's being spoken. The lighting technicians that are making sure that it's a beautiful experience. The Connect Corner outside, waiting for you to step out of service to answer any questions that you might have about VU Church. The resource corner in the black tent right next to him, waiting to guide you in your next steps on your spiritual journey, to provide you with whatever resources it is that you need. You're receiving the whole time. You're receiving the whole time. Oftentimes we think that church is, we think it's about a sermon. It's not. It's so much bigger than that. My words, this sermon, not gonna change your life. It won't. But taking a moment to study, to observe, to receive from, to feed yourself from the fact that this is not about a place, it's about a group of people who have encountered a good, gracious, merciful, all-loving, all-knowing God. And all they wanna do here on a Sunday is get you to encounter what it is that they have encountered. That's what'll change your life. That's what'll impact you. That's what'll shift your Monday around. That's what'll shift your week around. When we find our focus, when we understand what we study, it helps us find our focus. And when we find our focus, we begin to admire things that have been right in front of us this entire time. So first question, who do you look at? Second question, what do you study? Third question, how do you behave? How do you behave? What does your life look like? What are your behaviors look like? Aristotle, he says that we are what we repeatedly do, right? So there are actions, there are behaviors, and there's patterns to these behaviors, and these patterns to these behaviors, they tell a story about who we are. We are what we repeatedly do. Is there a pattern to your behavior? Is the pattern a reflection of the person you want to be? Is the pattern a reflection of who or what you want to admire in life? Our actions, they tell a story. What story are your actions telling? Is it the legacy that you want to leave behind? And hear me, I'm not here to debate right versus wrong behavior. I'm not here to debate good versus bad behavior. We're not a church that's legalistic and says you have to behave a certain way in order to belong here. You have to behave a certain way in order to be a part of this. I'm simply just encouraging and challenging all of us to recognize that our actions are attached to our admirations. Your actions, my actions, all of us are attached to our admiration. The reason I know this, the reason that this is so clear to me, the reason that I can take this to the grave is because of the servant leaders of VU. It's because of what I see every single Sunday for an entire year, 52 Sundays out of the year. There's no other reason why hundreds of people would give their time and their talents towards something that's not gonna monetarily compensate them in return. It doesn't make any sense. It's completely countercultural. It's completely radical. But it's because they've attached their action to their admiration. They've found something to admire, and now they're acting out on it. I mean, like, what has to be going through somebody's mind for them to show up to a high school in Little Haiti at 5:45 in the morning to unload a semi-truck and to build a Connect Corner and to build the growth track and to build a kid stage and to build this stage and to put this whole production together? What does somebody have to be thinking to give up every Tuesday night for a 3-month period as part of our VU Care offerings to help facilitate a class of complete strangers on how to overcome addiction? What does someone have to be thinking? I mean, that when you have a conversation with somebody about overcoming an addiction, that's not a conversation just for that night. That's an intense, hard, difficult, vulnerable conversation that you carry with you now, Because now you're locking arms with that person that's trying to walk through something, and you're committing to walk out life with them. So that's just not a 12-night volunteer thing. That's a lifelong now volunteer thing. What does somebody have to be thinking to do that? Or why? Why would hundreds of people show up on a Saturday yesterday on Memorial Day weekend, one of the funnest weekends there are in our city? 350 people showed up to serve other people, knowing that they may never get a thank you in return, knowing that they may never get a response in return. It's because these people have found their focus. It's because they've attached their admiration, they've attached their actions to their admirations. These are three questions that all of us that we have to be asking ourselves, because they're going to help us identify who or what we admire. And when we identify who or what we admire, we are able to find our focus. So now we've gone through these three questions, and now you're probably thinking in your mind, well, what do I admire? What did I admire in my past? And probably what do you admire right now? And maybe you're thinking about what you admire right now, and you're trying to determine whether that's good or bad. Is it good? Is it a good thing to admire? Is it a bad thing to admire? To be honest, I don't think it's really a question of good versus bad. I think in life we get too caught up in that sometimes. Is this good? Is this bad? Is this good? Is this bad? I think instead of consuming our minds with trying to diagnose if something is good or bad, why don't we just consider if it's what we want? What do you want to be focused on? I mean, really, really think about it. What do you want your life's focus to be? At the end of it all, what do you want them to say that you were focused on? What do you want your life's focus to be? And there's a difference, by the way, on focusing on something by design or default. So you could focus on something with intentionality and make sure that you're walking out your focus by design, or you could focus on something by default and just let it happen. The beautiful part is that you and I, we get to determine what we focus on by design or by default. All of my life, my younger years, all of what I was focused on was by default. When I was a little kid and my focus was on superheroes, dictated by what entertained me at the moment. When I was focused on sports, it was dictated by this need to stand out. When I was focused on girls and on popularity, dictated by, well, hormones, all by default, none by design. What do you want to be focused on? What do you want to be focused on? Is your admiration, your present admiration, an accurate reflection of what you want to focus on the most? It's a difficult question, but it's a necessary one. Why is it necessary? Because what we admire influences who we become. What you admire influences who you become. What we admire, it's the indication of what we're focused on, and what we're focused on tends to be what we're led by. We're all being led somewhere. What you're being led by is what you're focusing on, and what you're focusing on, the clearest indication of that is what you admire. So what is it that you admire? Maybe you're here and you're like, yo, I don't like where I am in life. I don't like my present situation. I don't like what's going on in here. I don't like what's going on out here. Maybe it's time to find your focus. Maybe you're here and you're like, I'm not happy with where I'm at. Maybe it's time to attach your admiration to something new. As we close and as the team comes up here, I probably realized that I should have started this way. As we're talking through admiration, we're talking through who and what we admire, I think it's important to define that word, admiration. What does it mean to admire something? We're talking about it, but what does it actually mean? Admiration means to regard an object, quality, or person with respect or approval. To see something worthy of applause, praise, and worship. So to admire, or admiration, is an emotion. It's what we feel towards something. It's an emotion. It's a feeling that's born when we see something that we approve of, when we see something that we respect. And applause, praise, and worship is the response to that emotion. It's the physical, mental, and dare I say, spiritual response to what you admire. So the question that we're asking ourselves today, because this is how it works. You find something that you focus on. It leads to you admiring that. And then the physical, mental, and emotional responses to that are praise, applause, and worship. So the question is who or what we admire, but another way of asking that is who or what do you worship? We all worship something. Who or what do you worship? Look, I don't know where you're at in this faith journey. I don't know what you came in with. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know the burden that's on your heart. I don't know what you believe. I don't know what you don't believe. But here's what I do know. I know what it's like not to believe. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be cynical about this whole thing. I know what it's like to believe and still have doubt. I know what it's like to believe and get frustrated at my core because things aren't panning out the way I want them to pan out. I know what it's like to look my whole life for something to admire that would fulfill the desires of my heart. I know what it's like to attach my admiration to the wrong thing. I know what it's like to look to the wrong people, to receive from the wrong things, to behave the wrong way, and not wrong because it's bad, wrong because it left me empty. But I also know what it's like to have found my focus. I know what that's like, and because I know what it's like to have found my focus, I know what it's like to have found something worthy of all my praise, of all my applause, of all my worship. I know what it's like to have found something worth attaching all of my admiration to. I know what it's like to have found something that I can set my eyes on 100% of the time, to receive from, to study 100% of the time. I know what it's like to have found something to attach my actions towards. A.W. Tozer, who this collection is based off, he has this quote, and it's been messing with me this whole week. He says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes to your mind when you think about God? Is it admiration? Maybe your answer is yes, always. Always admiration. Maybe your answer is sometimes. Maybe your answer is no, never. Never admiration. No matter what your answer is today, it's okay. What makes it okay is that no matter what our answer is, God's answer is always the same. Yeah. See, God's very clear about what comes to his mind when he thinks about you, when he thinks about me. See, that's what's different about God. That's why God is unique. That's why God is set apart. This word that we use a lot in church is holy. The word holy means set apart. That is why God is set apart, because what God thinks of me has nothing to do with what I think of him. Nothing. What I think of people has entirely to do with what they think of me or what I've benefited from them, what I've been able to receive from them, but not for God. It's unrelated because it's unconditional. You want to know what God thinks about you? Isaiah 54:10 says, "The mountains and hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end." Mountains and hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end. You know what's on God's mind? You know what comes to God's mind when he thinks of you? His love for you. Bible says mountains could crumble, but his love would remain. Meaning, even if the impossible were to happen, and mountains were to crumble at your feet, God's love for you would remain constant. See, God is not searching for his focus. God has found his focus, and his focus is you. His focus is you. God's focus is so much on you, that he wasn't willing to go another moment without providing you and me an opportunity to spend eternity with him. That's who Jesus is. That's why Jesus came. See, there's a separation between us and God, me and God. Not a separation because he put it there, a separation because we caused it. We created a divide between us and God because God is here. He is set apart. He is perfect. He is holy. He is righteous. And I am over here and I have flaws. I am broken. And God, how good he is, how gracious he is, he doesn't say that I have to earn my way over to him. I don't have to earn my way over to him. He provided a bridge. He closed the gap through Jesus. That's who Jesus is. That's the story of the gospel. That you and I, we don't gotta earn it because it's already been given. That's grace, man. It's beautiful. God's focus is on you. What comes to his mind is you. Jesus' willingness to come down to earth and to die on a cross and to take everything that we deserved in order for us to have everything that he deserved, it's the loudest public declaration that anybody could make. He's saying, my focus is on you. Will you put your focus on me? I think all of us, we have to find our focus. Because what you focus on, it leads to what you start to admire. And what you admire will influence who you become. Who do you want to become? Who? I know what I want to become. I want to become somebody who's obsessed with Jesus. I want to become somebody who loves Jesus and loves people and is willing to lay down everything I got in order to point people to the one that set me free. I know what it's like to have focused on the wrong things, but I found my focus. And because I found my focus, I know what I can attach it to. I found what I can attach my admiration to, something worth attaching to. Jesus is the only thing in this world that is sustainable. The only thing that's gonna sustain your life. He's the only thing worth attaching your admiration to. Who or what do you worship? My prayer is that it's Jesus. And here's the most beautiful part. Ready? The most beautiful part is that you and I, we get to choose. God loves us so much that he doesn't make us do anything. He doesn't say, you have to live this way. No, even though I know what is best for you, I'm still gonna let you choose. Each and every day, you and I, we get to make that choice. We get to choose what we want to focus on. We get to choose whether the answer to that question, who or what we worship, is Jesus or not. But my prayer for us as a church is that it is Jesus, and that you allow God access into your heart so that he can change you from the inside out. He promises to provide life and life more abundantly. Why don't you find out what that means? Promises to provide exceedingly and abundantly more. More than what? More than you have right now. Find your focus. Allow Jesus into your heart and it'll change you for the better. Do you believe that? Come on, put your hands together for Jesus.
Well, thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with friends. It helps so much. For more content from VU and to connect with us, go to VUchurch.com. We love you. The best is yet to come.